You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Well, good morning, NTC. Good morning, those joining us online. Excited to be with you again this morning. Before we jump into our message, you can always find the message notes online. They should be shared in the link will be shared in the comments, and also you can go to our website and always find that. But before we jump into that, of course, I want to talk about what's just happening here at NTC, what changes are coming. So if you weren't paying attention yesterday, Governor Cuomo announced that churches can return immediately to 25% their capacity. And so guess what? We're going to come back to church next week. Yay, I hope I hear you're cheering wherever you are. We're excited to come back together. We weren't quite ready, just to be honest. I don't know why they would announce on a Saturday that churches can meet on a Sunday and expect them to figure that all out in a couple of hours. But, you know, so we're going to wait till next week. But next week, Sunday, come to church. It'll be at 10 a.m. Before we do that, though, coming back together, there's a lot of changes that kind of have to take place within the building and some things that we need to do to get this place back. You know, we haven't been in here really for a few months, and we've just been kind of making this work. And so, you know, if you're in the room right now, it's a little bit messy. You can't see all that stuff because we just have the camera pointed at the things we want you to see. So on Wednesday, from 9 a.m. till about 4 p.m., we're going to have a work day. And we're asking if you have any free time, come during the day, anytime. We have a list of things we're trying to accomplish before we come back together on Sunday. Some of the stuff is just simply cleaning. We have to rearrange all these chairs to separate them to the you know, social distancing that we're supposed to be doing. So we're going to have to rearrange chairs, probably take a few out. We also are trying to get done some projects that we've been working on. We have some stage things that need to take place. And we're also doing sound panels that go on the wall, and we've been building those. They're all kind of stacked in a back hallway right now, but we want to mount some of those. So we have a bunch of work. We have some outdoor work that might take place. We have some kids' church work that needs to take place within the classroom so that those are all prepared and ready for us to do this well and safe. So if you are free Wednesday between 9 and 4, just show up. It doesn't matter who you are, what you think you're able to do. We'll have something for you to do for a while. It'd be great, even if you can give us a half hour, an hour, a couple hours. It'd be really helpful. We're actually going to begin also on Tuesday installing air conditioning. Now, today's not overly needing for it, but we hear that it's supposed to be one of the hottest summers on record. So the AC is going to actually be going into the sanctuary, some of it this week and next week. So that's exciting for us to see. But we have a lot of things happening, and we're trying to rush it all in a week now. So show up on Wednesday. Help us get this back ready so that we can come together on Sunday this coming week, which is super exciting for all of us. Actually, we do have our first people back today, Dave and Lisa Smith. They're just behind the camera. You can't see them right now. But Dave and Lisa have been actually sitting in our parking lot for weeks, worshiping just from there. And I went out today and I said, just come inside. We can gather now. It was immediate. So they're sitting in the, you know, I'm going to be speaking to them today because they're the only people here watching me. So we're excited to have people back in. So another couple quick thoughts about what that's going to look like. Obviously, what the government is asking us to do is to adhere to social distancing guidelines. We are not going to be the police. We're not going to be your parent. We're asking that you would, within your own self, adhere to those to the best of your ability. But I just want you to understand what to expect when you come. We are going to have seats separated so that you can social distance appropriately. If you feel comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. If you're not going to wear a mask, I'm not going to tell you you have to wear one. We're just going to leave it up to you. And maybe that's going to get frowned upon by some people, but I'll just be honest, I don't want to police this. You do what you feel comfortable with. But that also means you need to, you know, understand other people's boundaries. If someone's in here and you haven't seen them in months and you really want to run up and give them a hug, ask them first. Ask them if they're taking handshakes. Ask them if they're taking hugs. If they're not, It's totally fine. Let people do what they feel safe. And if you are on the end where you are possibly at risk and you're worried about that, we're just asking you, do what is best for you and your family. Stay home for this time being still. We're going to obviously continue live streaming. We're going to be including you and to the best of our ability. We're going to be live streaming the kids' church stuff most likely still. So please, please do what is best for you and your family. We're not asking you to do something that you don't want to do, but we're also just saying we're going to let you make the choice, which the government doesn't always love for us to do, but we're going to let you make the choice. Come back, don't come back, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, social distance, do the best that we can to really honestly honor one another and how they're feeling. So as you come back, just think of those things and how people are feeling. Whenever I see people in public, I ask, hey, are you taking hugs? Or can I get a little closer? And, often it's yes. Sometimes it's, oh, we're still kind of, that's totally fine. I can talk from a distance. I can pray for you from a distance and Jesus will still work in your life. So can't wait to see you all next week. I hope we have a parking lot problem. We will have lots of ideas if we do seem to be packed out. We're going to have some overflow spaces. We have the balcony that hasn't been utilized a ton, so there'll be lots of space to separate and be apart there. Our capacity of our building is actually very, very large, and the amount of people that come on Sunday is usually around 300. We won't even come close to that. Our capacity, 25%. So we're actually sitting in a good spot just because our building is very large. Our kids' church is going to be up and running. We're going to keep those classrooms to a smaller size on purpose because that's some of the guidelines we need to follow. But just so you know, we're doing our best. We're excited to be back together with you next week and to see your faces in person and to celebrate together. So super exciting. That's our big announcement. For what's taking place. We were going to be doing a drive-in service. I said, obviously, that's not necessary. It's now a walk-in service. Be here next Sunday. Excited for you all. So, all right, let's jump in to our message this morning, which is the title, if you have the notes, it's about life. So last week, we did a message. I talked about truth. I talked about what's currently going on in our world with just division and the protests and racism and all the stuff that's taking place in our world that's really impacting all of us in different ways. And I read from this scripture in John 14. I want to remind you. And it's where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this phrase, which many of us have heard many, many times. And it's John 14:6. I'll turn there myself. And it says this, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And last week we talked about this idea of truth. What is it in our lives? And what are we supposed to be searching for? And what truths are we supposed to be looking at? And I talked about this idea of how easy it is to get distracted by what the world feels is important to know. You know, we're always trying to sift through what is really happening in this pandemic, what's really happening in politics, what's really happening in protests and all these things, what's really taking place, and we're trying to see truth, and you see so much bombardment of information, and at the end of the day, those things, yes, they're important, but they're not the truth that we should be searching for. We're supposed to be searching for Jesus, the source of truth in our lives, the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I talked a little bit even before that. We didn't use this term, but the way of Jesus and how we're supposed to be heading a different way in our lives. That we're supposed to be aimed towards heaven. You know, he said, repent. And he came declaring, it says, Jesus said, repent and turn, for the kingdom of heaven is near. That we're supposed to be turning our lives from the way of this world to the way of Jesus. Well, this morning I want to, and we're going to do a whole series on this, but I'm really just kind of opening the can of worms in a sense that we can really discuss together and talk about what does this mean for our lives when Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning I want to talk about life. I want to talk about life. Right in John 1:4, there's a scripture on your notes. And this whole beginning of John is really talking about Jesus. It uses the word, it says, the word was flesh, the word was in the beginning. But that word is referring to Christ, to Jesus. And it says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, I want to talk about this passage for just a minute. As we talk about life, as we talk about what this means, as we talk about what Jesus was referring to so often when he used this term life. You know, the first question I kind of pose in there is Jesus talking about life in the same way that we think about life? Or is it something else? Is it something more? I think he's talking about life differently than we think about it. You know, the first thought I had when it says, and life was the light of men, I don't know if you know this, but scientifically, no life exists without light. It's impossible. In fact, I love when you go back to Genesis, right? The very first verse of this whole Bible. In Genesis 1, actually, sorry, the third verse, it says, then God said, let there be light. And he's talking about this formless world, and he brings light into it because actually, even scientifically, you can't have life without light first. The sun gives life to everything we have. Now, there are animals that actually survive without light. They're nocturnal. They survive deep in the sea. There's fish and stuff that survive deep, and they don't need the UV light, but they actually need what the UV light still produces, which is food. They need the plants and the algae and the plankton and all the things that survive off of the light to live. So life doesn't exist on our planet scientifically unless the sun is burning. Unless light is cast down onto this planet, there is no life. And I love this reference because it's the same way with Jesus. Now, he's talking about a different life here. But without his light in our life, we aren't alive. We're not living. And I think we all, absolutely every human can say that life is more than breathing, eating, and surviving. You know, I talked about a thought about this, maybe it was a number of months back, actually, and I remember this quote from this movie, 12 Years a Slave. True story about a black man, musician, who went down south to play a gig, and he gets attacked, and he gets taken into slavery, and he gets sold into slavery in the South, and he fights for years trying to get free, and he's telling them, I'm a free man, but they don't care because of the color of his skin. And there's a scene where he's with these other black men, and they're working in the field, and they're saying to him, just give it up. This is life now. This is what it is. You just have to survive. And he makes this statement, I don't want to survive, I want to live. I don't want to survive, I want to live. And we can understand the nuance of what that means. It's different than just breathing and eating and making sure our bodies don't pass away. That there's more to life than just that. And this is what Jesus was referring to. You see, he comes into a world that mostly was now devoid of the life that he was bringing. Even the religious people, the Jews, the Hebrews who had been set apart for God, they had gone astray. They had forgotten what it was to really know their God. And they had made it all about religious activities and religious services and making sure that they fulfilled this law. And Jesus is coming on saying, no, there's more to this life. And he's challenging them. And I love that it starts with this thought that really if we want actual life within us, we can't have it without him. Just like the world can't exist with life without the sun. He is the light of men, the light of humanity. I want to jump to John 3 real quick. There's a little explanation here. Just to say, this is Jesus. He's talking about a different kind of life than just the eating, breathing kind. And it says this, Jesus replies, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And he says this, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. And he's now bringing a contrast to them because he's been talking about life for a while with his disciples. And he's trying to get them to see, I'm not talking about you just being born and living on this earth. A functioning, you know, body. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking now about a different kind of life. And he calls it spiritual life. There's something within our spirit that is supposed to be alive. What is this spiritual life? There's an incredible story, the very next chapter in John. I've talked about this story so many times, but it's just perfect for this. It's John 4, and it's about a woman at the well. Many of us have heard the title. Many of us have heard the story. And Jesus comes, and he's doing his ministry, and he's walking about, you know, Jerusalem area, and he's walking about Israel, and he comes to this well, and they're tired, and they're hungry, and so his disciples go into the nearby town. The reason his disciples go into this nearby town and not Jesus is because they don't want a crowd showing up. They're so tired, they're basically like, I don't want to see anybody. So Jesus stays at the well. It's why he stays there. So he stays at the well, and it's in the middle of the day because most likely no one goes to get water in the heat of the day. But yet this woman shows up, and she's fetching water for herself, and there's this man standing there, and Jesus starts talking to her, which is all against the rules. I have whole messages about how this is against the rules. And it says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. We're going to read this. And Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And he makes this statement. Jesus replies, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. A confusing statement in the middle of a hot day at a well. He asks for a drink. She basically is like, why are you even talking to me? And then he goes into this kind of odd statement, which is so Jesus. So often the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the disciples, they ask him a direct question and he just kind of sidelines and says what he's thinking. He says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. This well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? So now she's challenging him. She's literally like, what are you talking about? There's no better water than this well. You really think you have better water than what this well provides? And I think sometimes we do the same thing to Jesus. Let's just put this into our own lives. Maybe you have an experience with church. Maybe you know God a little bit. Maybe you grew up in denominations or in a church somewhere and you understand a lot of religious stuff, but for you, you don't really get how it's important. And we come to Jesus and we kind of say the same thing, like, really? But is really following Jesus any better than the water over here? Is following God, is fulfilling this religious duty really any better than the water that already keeps me alive? And we kind of fluff off Jesus. We fluff it off because maybe religion has portrayed him wrong. Maybe religion has hurt us. And actually, what you'll see is the same thing is true in this woman's life. She's made so many mistakes in her life that now religion has put her aside. First off, she's not even the right type of person. She's a Samaritan. You want to talk about racism and stuff? This was so true in their day too. This woman wasn't even supposed to be talked to. She's a woman who's made mistakes, and she's not even of the right race. And here's Jesus breaking all those things, and he's saying, listen, I have something for you that will give you real life. And I get her kind of rebuttal because she probably hasn't ever experienced it. And she thinks, what are you talking about? This is the best water we've got. I think sometimes we look at our lives and we look out there and we maybe see Jesus. We maybe see someone who has some life in Jesus. And I even think it's funny. Sometimes we might see some life in Jesus just like Jesus, but they look tired. You know how often people tell me I look tired? They're like, man, you look tired. I'm like, isn't that just a way for saying I look bad right now? I'm like, yes, I'm tired. I'm perpetually tired. I have lots of kids. I have lots of things in my life. I don't sleep well sometimes, so I'm tired. Jesus was tired. It's okay to be tired. This man looks tired. She's kind of trying to figure out, what's this man have to offer me? Sometimes we look at Jesus that way. But he goes on. He says, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. So now he's talking about the water that she lives off of. They'll soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. He brings this contrast to what the world has to offer, and this is the same for our lives. This contrast, he says, this water, yes, it might make you feel good for a short time, but it isn't going to last. How many of us know that to be true? What are you filling your life with that doesn't last? Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's bad relationships. Boyfriends and girlfriends. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's social media. What are you putting into your life that maybe makes you feel okay for a moment, but then it doesn't last? Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's a hundred million different things that we try in our lives to fill this void and make us feel alive, but yet it doesn't last. This is what Jesus is contrasting that day. This is what he's doing to show her that life isn't within the water that she has experienced. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. I want to take a little sideline thought here. You know, we've got so many protests going on that turn into riots, and people are all over the world. This is not just in the United States now. It's all over the world standing together against racism, standing together in solidarity for what happened to George Floyd. And it's absolutely important. But what I want to say to that thought is that it won't last, because that isn't the real problem. Racism is a symptom of a much deeper issue within all of humanity. Brokenness, disconnection from God. It's called sin. It's literally the separation from what we were designed to be to what we've become as humanity. That is the broken issue within this world. And it comes out in symptomatic ways across the world. Racism is just one of the worst ones. And we'll protest and we'll get legislation, and all of those things are important. So please don't take me wrong with that. But it doesn't actually fulfill. It makes you feel better for a while. Maybe you're so angry out there in the world right now that you're throwing bricks through windows. That's a momentary lapse of feeling. It doesn't actually solve anything. It doesn't change anything within you. In fact, usually drinking the wrong water in life leaves you more thirsty. Anybody ever work on a day, you're outside, you're working, you're mowing your lawn, you're doing something and you're so thirsty? This is me often. And I come in and I see that ice cold Coca-Cola. Man, I love Coke. Maybe for some of you, it's a beer. You come in and you see in the fridge this ice cold beer, and it's like the commercials. The little sweat beads are coming down from the condensation, and you're like, oh, this is going to be so great. And you drink it. Guess what happens after you drink it? You're thirsty. It tasted good. Man, I love Coke. It tastes good. But I'm just as thirsty. In fact, usually more thirsty. You see, when life gives us the wrong water, the fake water, the facade of trying to fulfill us, it actually causes us to be more thirsty for the real thing. And when I look at these protests and when I look at people being so angry over this, I don't believe it's just about racism. It's about a deep hole of being far from who they were designed to be. The world was not supposed to be like this. First off, we weren't even supposed to die, ever. Our design in Genesis was for eternal life, the eternal life Jesus is promising right now. Our bodies weren't supposed to wither and break apart and cause turmoil and anguish in our lives. It wasn't supposed to be that way. We weren't supposed to judge one another based on the color of their skin or the way they looked or the way they acted. We weren't supposed to be that way. And so when people are out protesting, it's so far beyond just a momentary issue that took place in Minneapolis. It's this yearning for real life. It's a world right now crying out, we want more than what we've known. And yes, they're pointing to this one issue, which is an absolute terrible issue. But it's just a symptom of the real problem. Living a life we weren't designed to live. Trying to be a human we weren't designed to be. Surviving instead of really, actually living. They're yearning for a life without injustice, the way it was meant to be from the beginning of time. They're a life without racism, the way it was supposed to be. A life without division. That is what people are really yearning for. It comes out in many different ways. Right now, it's protests. Sometimes it's just anger on the internet. Sometimes it's just self-fulfillment with anything you can get your hands on. But at the end of the day, it's a yearning for a life we have not yet experienced. The life that Jesus is promising in these scriptures, the life that he is promising to you right where you are today, an eternal, everlasting life. I put in your notes, what is this idea of eternal? It says lasting or existing forever, without end, enduring always. How many want that kind of life? How many want that within them? In fact, Jesus says it becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them. It's not just some dormant sense of, oh yeah, I have purpose and I'm alive. It's literally a fresh bubbling spring. Imagine that picture within you. That life is just bubbling out of you everywhere you go. That is why people follow Jesus. That's why they came from miles around of the thousands to just get around him, to touch him, to be close to him, because they saw something fresh, something eternal coming out of him that they had never experienced. That is the call of Christianity. That is the call of Jesus in every one of our lives. That's the call of the Holy Spirit within us. When the world looks at Christians, we shouldn't look the same. It should be almost confusing. Especially in a world so contrasted at this moment that they look at and they're so destitute and desperate and in despair, and they look at someone who has life literally bubbling out of them. Hope coming out of them. Joy coming out of them. Peace coming out of them. These are the things that we're supposed to be. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. We were designed for eternal life. That's the problem. We haven't experienced what that means. We haven't seen it in our lives. We haven't seen what we see mostly with our human eyes is just the brokenness of the world around us, especially when it's loud like right now. But we're supposed to be able to see through all of that. We're supposed to cut through the noise and the mayhem and remind the world that there is a life beyond what they know. An eternal life gifted to us by Jesus. Paid for in full on that cross. And nothing can separate us, Romans 8 says. Nothing can keep us from the love of God. But all we have to do is accept it. We have to receive it. We have to say, yes, I don't want to go my way anymore. I want to go your way, Jesus. This is the life he has for us. This is the life he has even for this world. You know, we're going to talk about in this series coming up, we're going to call it The Way, the Truth, and the Life for 10 weeks. We want you to get into your small groups / house churches. Some people are confused about that. We're just using the name so that you realize, house church, so that you realize you're a pastor to others. You're a priest, like we talked about, priesthood of all believers, to others. It's the same thing as small groups. It's getting together, discussing the word, and seeing God grow in our lives. We want that to start next week, and for the next 10 weeks after that, we want to see us model. What does it mean to live by these words? The way, the truth, and the life. What does it mean for us? What does it look like? How does it change us within? And how does it change the world around us? I think even years ago, we used to call the same thing life groups. Because it was supposed to give us life. I've always loved the name. There's lots of churches out there. They call it Life Church. I think it's probably one of the most appropriate names for the church. Because when you come here, you should find true, real, authentic life. Beyond the eating, beyond the surviving, beyond the breathing. Life everlasting. We're going to talk actually what it means for us in eternity, the reality of what does it look like after all this. You see, eternal life is actually meant for us right now. It's supposed to begin in this moment. It isn't a moment to start when you die. Eternal life is supposed to be right now. And what does that look like when we have that perspective? How does it change us when we realize what's important there? This is what life is supposed to be about. This is what Jesus wanted us to follow him into. You see, following Jesus was not just for the sake of following Jesus. He was leading us somewhere. He's leading his people to a place that we were designed to always live in unity with each other, in reconciliation with each other, in reconciliation with God, and for all eternity within a body that never decays. This is our hope. When we talk about heaven, it's not the thing you go to when you die. It's actually what God promises at the end of all of this world, all of the stuff we're experiencing now. It's a restoration of all things. That he comes, he even restores the earth that we stand on. He restores the bodies that we live in. He restores the relationships that we have. And he's leading us to that place. But he doesn't want us to wait till he comes back, however that looks. He wants us to begin it right now. He wants us to begin that process of walking in eternal life, in life bubbling out of us right now. I think the question he's asking us, and I believe, honestly, I know God, I don't believe God causes this pandemic or anything, but I know he isn't wasting a moment. And if anything he's doing in this, it's a reorientation of our minds to remember what's important. I mean, I asked this question on your notes, in what ways has this season shown what is most important in your life? That should be the question you are asking yourself every day. What is important? We've asked that of the church in general for now 9-10 weeks. We're saying, this has made us look narrowly. What is important about gathering as a church and as a people? What is important in life? Where is it that God is leading us in this life? Don't get distracted by the world. Don't follow their standards. Don't get sucked into their game. Follow his leading, and you will find true life. Now, I'll just tell you, following his leading is full of uncertainty. It's full of not knowing always the next step. But there's a different certainty that comes when you've put your trust in Jesus. It's a certainty that knowing the God of this universe knows you and will take care of you. regardless of the circumstances around us? Do we want that kind of life? Do we want to have fresh, bubbling springs of life welling up within us? I believe we do. I believe everyone watching this morning needs that within them. That we all need this reminder, this narrowing, and this focus of cutting through what is happening in the world to looking to what is true and what God really has in life for all of us. It can start this morning for every one of you. Maybe you've just happened across this. Maybe you've just stumbled onto this video. Maybe you've gotten captured by what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, Jesus wants your heart this morning. And he's just saying, all you have to do is say yes to me. All you have to do is say yes to my leading. You can pray a prayer. You can kneel down where you are right now. You can whisper it in your heart as you're driving. Jesus, I need you and I want you in my life. That's it, just like that. Say it and it begins. Real life comes in that moment within you. And I promise everything will change in your world. Life will never be the same when we actually give our life over to him. Now, I'm not promising butterflies and rainbows either. I'm not saying it's all easy. In fact, sometimes it gets harder. But the best things in life always come a little hard. The best things in life always take a little extra work. And I'm telling you, if you want real life, press into all God has. Press into him this morning. Press into Jesus. Follow his leading. I want to pray for you this morning. Before we do that, I actually want to pray over Dave and Lisa. You guys can sit right there. I'm going to pray for you guys. I told them to turn a camera on you, so you're probably going to be on the internet. Dave and Lisa, you guys are incredible people. Everyone's cheering right now. You can't hear them. But what you've gone through, Lisa, and the way that you went through all the difficulties in your body is an unbelievable testimony that you have eternal life within you. That even when the world and the physical body tries to snuff that out and take the joy away, you refused and you saw eternal life. You're a representation of that, and I want to honor you today. We're so honored to know you two. We're so honored to stand with you. And I just want to pray healing and wholeness over you, even more than you've already experienced, but over your whole family. So God, we just thank you for Dave and Lisa this morning. God, we thank you for who they are. We thank you for them modeling what it means to live in a world that has gone awry, but to be focused on eternal life. God, we thank you that they model joy and peace in the midst of so much uncertainty, not just in the world, but personally within their lives and even within Lisa's body. And God, we pray right now for healing. We pray for your heaven to come on earth in this moment, just like you commanded your disciples to pray. God, we ask that your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven within her body right now. God, that there is no sickness, there is no disease in heaven. So we just declare that over Lisa right now, that there will be wholeness. God, there will be 100% recovery from all the things that she's gone through. And I even pray over Nene, God. I pray over their whole family, that there will be wholeness and healing radiating out from them. That eternal life will bubble out in every way that you've promised it, God. And we thank you for what you're doing in this world, God. We thank you that you are working in our lives. And we know that you're working in this world. And we thank you for working in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. If you joined us this morning, we so appreciate it. We're excited to see you next week in person. If you don't feel comfortable, we're still excited to have you join us online. But if you can't help us, Wednesday's a great work day, 9 to 4. We got lots of work to do. Be blessed. Enjoy a beautiful day. Amen. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.